This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. Hope you had a great weekend. I sure did. We have Mr. Jim Simpson on today, and one of my favorite people, and what a great person for MTSU. I don't know how in the world they stole him over there, but he is one of the best PR people I have ever known, and a great sports historian. So we want to let you know that the first part of the show, before we get to Jim, is brought to you by Golden Coin Connection at 2568 South Church Street. And that's beside the Gateway Tire Center in the Strip Mall. And they also have another location at 5631 New Nashville Highway. And Pastor Larry Dunn of ERO Ministries and partners Chris Chico and Wayne Everly buy scrap gold, jewelry, platinum, coins, and silverware. They have a vintage sports collectible and even some great antiques. And for a fair and honest evaluation, and that's what you really want, of your collectibles, take them by and see Pastor Larry Dunn and his partners today at the Golden Coin Connection. That's 2568 South Church Street or 5631 New Nashville Highway. And give them a call. It's 890-2646. Jim Simpson, it's great to have you on today.
Thanks, Truman. It's great to be here.
How in the world are you able to fill me in or put me in your busy schedule with all the things that you have to do?
Oh, I jumped at this chance, Truman. You know, I'm a part-time worker anyway.
No. There's no such thing.
Well, all right, let me rephrase it. I get paid part-time.
Now, I can relate to that. We're in the same boat.
Both part-time workers.
Now, you have such a great heritage there at MTSU, and this seems like this has been one of the best years that I can remember as far as basketball is concerned. I mean, the girls had a great team. The boys had a great team. And it seems like the Minnesota game was one of those games that just comes along once in a lifetime for everybody. What a game.
Truman, that was one of the best atmospheres that I can ever remember in the Murphy Center. And I've almost seen every basketball game that's ever been over there. So We just had a blast, and you know it's always hard to lose, and you hate to lose a game. You prepare to win, you expect to win, and we didn't in that game. But what a great game! It was big time basketball from the opening tip.
You know, I have seen like you, I've seen a lot of games, but the intensity, the level that they played, both Minnesota and MTSU. I said during the last 5 minutes of that game, nobody has really lost at the end of this game. When you have just paid your dues like all those kids did that day, and the coaches, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and our kids were really disappointed. You know, they were that close to going to New York and playing tomorrow night in Madison Square Garden. They really wanted to do that. But, you know, that's just the way things go.
Did you get a chance to talk to Kermit?
I saw Kermit this morning. I have not talked to him. I'm sure he was disappointed too, because this was a good team, Truman. This is one of our better teams. And, you know, they just played better and better. And outside of that little glitch at the end of the year where they had a little down part, they came back when they got into the NIT against Marshall. Really, really played well, got their mojo back, so to speak, and then played, I thought, really well against Minnesota.
We were watching him on the sidelines, Kermit. I think he used more energy than the players did that game. Oh, my goodness. And some of the calls, I'm not going to comment on the officiating, but some of the calls didn't seem to be going our way. And Kermit was just absolutely livid, but he held his composure. He didn't get a technical or anything, but bless his heart, I thought he was going to literally explode.
Coaches with as much experience as Kermit has know. They know where the line is. They know not to cross it. Now, he got one intentionally at a recent game, too. I think, was it the Tennessee game?
You know, I believe you're right.
One of those
games. It was another good game.
He decided he went out and wanted one, and he got it, and it helped things in the long run. I think that was the game.
I thought they played better against Minnesota, though, than they did against Tennessee.
Well,
I really
you know,
did. I just It seemed like everything came together except for one little part of the game, and we've talked about that.
Yeah, it's basketball's a game of ebbs and flows, and, you know, 40 minutes is a long time to play at the level that we ask our players to play.
How long has it been since you have seen so much of a demand for tickets as it was for that game?
Well, when we played the Tennessee team that was so good, 3 years ago, mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah.
There was a pretty good demand there, but I'm not sure how much of that was really just wanting to be there and being at the event and so forth, because they knew it would be a big crowd. Mm-hmm. But this game was mostly our fans. I doubt there were 70 or so Minnesota people in it. So every single person in that building was cheering for the Blue Raiders that night.
Oh, yeah. It was just almost perfect. And I think it was by far you had more of the students this time than any time before that I can remember.
Yeah, they allowed the first 2,000 students to pick up a ticket and come in with their ID, and those tickets all disappeared by lunchtime on the second day. So I think they did sell some tickets past that to students too. Mm-hmm. So we had a large contingent of students, and that really makes your atmosphere.
Oh,
you know,
it does.
When the students are in the building, you
it's
know,
a lot louder.
It's a lot louder, and it's a lot more active down there.
You know, you have an enormous amount of support from the community. You mm-hmm. really do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter which sport it is. Murfreesboro, Rutherford County, they support MTSU sports, and they should, because mm-hmm. they're a major part of our community. But the thing that is always wondered, you've got so many students at MTSU. How in the world can we get them involved in the big games like basketball and football and
well,
of course, baseball?
You know, they really have done a really good job of doing that. I mean, last year we played 6 home football games. The previous year we had 6, I believe, maybe mm-hmm. even, I think it was 6. But, you know, we've had 7,000 students for a game before. And, of course, that's directly related to whether you're winning or losing. In basketball this year, as we continue to win and people began to realize in late January, early February, hey, this is a really good team, they began to show up in numbers, and the numbers just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're really hoping that will kind of spill over into next year and get started with that same intensity again next year.
Well, when you talk about level of the big schools, MTSU is there.
Oh, this was big-time basketball. Mm-hmm. It was big-time basketball. And you can get in a car and drive all over the state if you want to and spend all that money. You can get to the university in 10 minutes and get in that historic building and watch big-time basketball at a relatively cheap price. It's just – it's beyond me why it's not full every time we open it up.
It is, me too, because we've got a large student base, and then we have a large base in the community. And, you know, there are a lot of communities in the big-time conferences like the SEC that really their support base is not as large as ours.
No,
I mean, we're right in there.
Yeah, our support base is really good. They've been with us for years and years. We need some new fans, and I really think – I don't have to be political on this show.
No.
I can say whatever I want to, I guess. I really think that as great an asset as ESPN was when they started it back in the 70s, mm-hmm. it's as much a detriment to schools like ours now, because there are so many games on TV, Truman. You can sit at home.
24 hours.
You can watch games, like you said, 24 hours mm-hmm. a day from all over the country. And it makes it a little bit harder to get up out of that chair, go out and get in the car and drive over to see your home team play.
But it's so much more fun to be there because you get to watch it. Just the atmosphere of being there, and just like the last game MTSU played at Minnesota, there is no way that you can get that atmosphere anywhere else unless you're in their arena. And that one, and I think it was probably the Tennessee-Notre Dame game, and you can remember that. I mean, you couldn't push your way in. There were so many people there. And you could hear the crowd way outside that stadium. I mean, it was just it was a happening.
And there's no Coach Davis will tell you this, and any of our coaches will tell you, when when a crowd is there and involved and behind the team, it really pushes them to another level. Mm-hmm. And you could see that the other night in the Minnesota game at the end when we were making our comeback. Mm-hmm. You just lifted them up. You know, they had to be tired.
And then there are on their end, and MTSU intercepts the ball and scores, mm-hmm. and then the place just erupts. Mm-hmm. And you think you're out of the game, then all of a sudden those kids bring it right back to them, and they had a good chance. I mean, it was they played as well as Minnesota, and Minnesota has a great team.
They really do. They lost six games in a row in the Big Ten, but that's a pretty good league.
Now, looking to the future, it looks bright for MTSU.
It does. It really, both men and women's squads, as far as basketball is concerned, the women only lost the one senior, Molly McFadden, and then the guys only lost LaRon and Jimmy Oden, and I know those are big losses. Mm-hmm. They are. But it takes 13 people to have a men's basketball team, and there's 11 of them going to be back again next year. So they've got a couple spots to fill in. They're working hard on that now, and I think we'll probably be pretty pleased to see the new players that come in.
You know, hopefully we're going to keep our coaches. I mean, Rick and Kermit do an absolutely marvelous job. And I hopefully this is going to be their home forever, because yeah. we're sitting there with two coaches that do a great job recruiting, and I don't think there's any doubt about it. We're going to be right at the top no matter who we compete with from now on. And, that, of course, that makes your job a little bit easier, too.
Yeah, well, I'm an alumni guy. That's what I do. I do work with our alumni, and, mm-hmm. and I've received a number of calls since that game mm-hmm. from folks all across the country that watched us, our former players that were proud mm-hmm. of the effort and proud to stomp around their homes wearing Middle Tennessee gear mm-hmm. and bragging about their team.
You know, you were mentioning ESPN earlier, and don't like to get into it too much, because to be honest with you, if it wasn't for ESPN, I probably wouldn't watch half the shows on television, because I'm a sports nut, just like most of us. We grew up with sports. But they have an extraordinary amount of influence across the country.
They certainly do.
And I can go back to when, of course, I think that's one of the reasons that Pat Head will not play Connecticut anymore. I think they were, maybe Connecticut was utilizing their home station up there for recruiting purposes.
Yeah, that's what I hear was part of that situation.
But and then we go to the Heisman Trophy when Peyton was the odds-on favorite, and then all of a sudden they started pushing somebody from Michigan, and then all of a sudden he loses that. How is it that a station like ESPN can have so much influence and so much power? Because it seems like sports fans love to talk.
It's pure sports. Numbers, Truman. It's just numbers. The numbers that they have consistently of who watch their now a number of different platforms that they mm-hmm. have, ESPN2, ESPN3. I can't begin to tell you the number of games that we had on ESPN different platforms this mm-hmm. year in basketball. You could watch almost any one of our games on ESPN3, ESPN2, or the big ESPN. As far as the one the other night. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just sheer numbers. People watch from all over the country, and that's their Bible when it comes to sports. When they start quoting sports figures or sports whatever, they get it from ESPN. Mm-hmm. So that's where they go for their information.
Well, of course, yeah. If they're going to make a decision where the sports writers have to make a vote on something, maybe it's All-American or whatever, then you listen to them. And a lot of times, the only way that they have to gain any knowledge at all is through ESPN.
That's right, because newspapers are not the big force that they used to be, and so they're not so much regional either. Mm-hmm. And so ESPN's a national sport. You can go home at 3 o'clock in the morning and turn it on, and you can get all the latest news. And I'm talking about the latest news. Mm-hmm. Or you can watch it 8 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock at night. It's constant 24-hour news cycle.
Now, you've been there a long, long time.
My wife says, when people ask how long has he been there, my wife Debbie says 1911. I'm here to say now that I was not there in 1911.
You weren't?
No.
I thought I saw you walking across the campus.
Dean Hayes may have been there in 1911. I'm still researching that.
And had some great girls over there at that time, too. Yeah. Of course, he is undoubtedly, as far as I'm concerned, the best track coach in the United States.
Well, he's in his 47th year now. That's just almost unprecedented.
You know, he doesn't look much older than that. He really doesn't.
Truman, let me tell you what he does. He won second place in the indoor track championships this year, which were held in the Murphy Center. And it's a joke what goes on around there with his second-place trophies. If he gets anything other than a first-place trophy, he throws it in the dumpster.
That sounded like him.
It was.
And he's one of the nicest, most accommodating people. And he is a great diplomat. I mean, when it comes to things such as dealing with his players and dealing with the community. And we have a caller on the line, and I hope it's not Jim Freeman. So, caller, welcome aboard with Jim Simpson.
Well, I've been called a lot, but Jim Freeman's about the worst I've ever been called. This is Larry Stewart, and I want to tell you that you're talking to Mr. MTSU right now, Truman, and I can solve the problem. How long he's been there? He was born there because I was there when they brought him in from the hospital, and he was born right there in Middle Tennessee State University. The old alumni gym.
Larry, thanks a lot. You just knocked about 20 years off my age.
Before he goes,
we were there a long time.
You remember him playing basketball here?
No, nobody remembers him. You know, there was a rumor one time that he had an assist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it turned out to be just a rumor, and it was just a mix-up. He never really had an assist.
It was really an air ball, wasn't it?
Well, I won't go into it's a long story, but it was not an assist.
Uh-huh.
Is that right, Larry?
Well, if you say so, Jim, I won't anybody argue with Jim Simpson when it comes to MTSU athletics, because they'll usually be wrong, but I wasn't up there to pass the ball, I'll say that. But I call in to tell you that what a great job Jim Simpson does. He's had, two or three jobs over there, and all of them, he's done a great job. And we really appreciate him in the varsity club and what he does for all the alumni. And if you need any help over there, all you do is call Jim Simpson. I'll hang up and listen to you. But you do a good job, Jim. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Larry. Larry was sitting right there in front of us the other night in the Minnesota game cheering us on, as always.
Was he cheering?
Well, he was.
Looks like he's about half asleep for some reason.
He was analyzing. Bobby nudges him every once in a while to get him awake.
Well, he brought up a point. You have done a lot of things over to MTSU. Can you even remember half of what you've done over there?
Well, I got started after my student days. They were building the Murphy Center, and so.
Oh, my. It's been a long time.
Well, it'll be 40 years this this December the 11th will be the 40th birthday, and we're going to plan a really nice birthday event for the city of Murfreesboro.
Oh, wow.
That's a significant building, and I'm very, very partial to that facility, and it's not the newest one in the state, but by golly, it's the most functional and has the most history.
But not many of us remember the old Memorial Gym.
Ooh. Well, I do. Larry so Stewart does. That was where he almost got his assist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're not going to elaborate on that at all, are you?
I'm not going to talk about it because it didn't happen. Yeah. But I started out as the first full-time athletic ticket manager.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved into the Murphy Center, and, you know, sports are growing.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was growing. The TSSAA had decided to come there. And so there were a lot of things going on at that point. Then in 1981, I moved over to the bookstore, which was the campus store at the mm-hmm. time, and is later named after Witcher Phillips.
Mm-hmm. Remember
who,
him.
Who was also yes,
and daughter.
Who was also an end on the 1940 team. And I think
you weren't selling tickets to that.
No, I didn't sell any tickets to that. But he was on that team, a former athlete,
mm-hmm.
and a great man, I might add.
Right.
And worked there for 20 years and then retired. And Coach Donnelly and I entered into this part-time agreement where I would work part-time in this capacity in developing the Varsity Club, which is our association for alumni athletes,
mm-hmm.
or athletic alumni, and the Hall of Fame, which Mr. Kennan so benevolently donated mm-hmm. to the construction.
Beautiful place.
Beautiful facility. Then we worked on the history portion of it. Dean Hayes was a big help there, and Jim Freeman, some of the other older guys. We used to laugh at the older guys like Joe Nunley and Jack Deere and Coach Murphy, and lo and behold, we looked up one day, and then the older guy were us. So I've enjoyed my last 11 years as a part-time employee over in athletics, working with the varsity club and the Hall of Fame.
How is it working with all those great guys and gals? I know I have known so many of them over the years. That has got to be special to you. I cannot think of a more fun job anywhere than dealing with those people.
It is. It's great. And then you get to deal with people like Larry Stewart
and
all of his teammates. He has one of the closest teams that I've ever seen over there. They played in the early mid-60s, and they just have a great – it's so wonderful to see those guys together, you know, when they do get together, and they are loyal. They come back every year. We have a Legends event in basketball where we invite all of our former players back, and we introduce them and kind of have a little get-together for them, and they can visit. And those guys always come back and get together, and that's where I found out about the Almost Assist, was that group. But there's all kinds of stories. I'm not 100% sure of the validity of all of them, but I am about the assist.
You know, you've known so many great athletes over the years in all the sports. Are there any, of course, Larry, he stands out no matter where he is. And really, Larry is a great representative for MTSU for what he's done for Rutherford County.
Yeah, absolutely.
Been a great role model for all the kids. He's helped so many people in this community that people really aren't aware of. But you have so many people. I mean, you and I were talking about Barney Oldfield and some others. There's got to be some great stories in all those
people. Oh, my goodness gracious. One of the funnest events, it's probably not grammatically correct, but one of the funnest events we've ever had was when we dedicated the new track and soccer stadium to Coach Hayes. Unbeknownst to him, we sent out a letter to all of his former athletes, well, all of the former track athletes, and they started coming, Truman, from every direction.
Oh, my.
They wanted to be there for Coach Hayes. And we never did tell Coach Hayes. And we had some T-shirts donated by a friend of ours that signified them as former athletes, track athletes, and they had to come by the Hall of Fame to pick them up, and they did that morning. And when they all showed up for... There were over 100 former track athletes showed up for that dedication.
Good night.
I'm sure it was heartwarming for Coach Hayes to see guys that went all the way back to the mid-60s that came from Chicago and around different parts of the country. The late Barry McClure came from Nevada. They just came, all Americans coming from every direction. It was a great event to see them all together and to see them relate to one another. It's just a big track family, thanks to Coach Hayes.
And I know that had to have been great for him, because you can tell he loves his kids, and he's such a great coach. How many coaches get to be Olympic athlete coaches?
Oh,
very, very few.
Very few.
It just shows you how high he's held in track.
Well, we used to kid a long time ago that he was probably better known internationally than he was here in Murfreesboro.
And that there's something wrong with that picture.
Well, I think that's changed some over the years, just because of longevity and continued success by Coach Hayes.
Actually, we're in the middle of track and field right now.
Outdoor track.
This is perfect time for it.
Outdoor track has just begun, and we'll be going toward the Sun Belt Finals here before too long.
Now, are there many events still open here at MTSU so people can actually go and attend some of them?
Well, track's kind of an interesting sport in that there are so many national track events that you can send your athletes to. It's not like a team event in a lot of places, because no team scores are kept. It's just working on your individual talents and your individual runners, jumpers, and so forth to get their skills honed to the point that they can go to the Sun Belt Conference meet and compete, and that's where they do keep team scores there.
Now, I've noticed that you have more availability of seats to the outdoor meets than you do the indoor. I've been to the indoor, and it's very difficult to find a place where you can go and watch the events, especially all of the events. It's almost impossible.
It is almost impossible, but it is the only, there are only two indoor venues in the Sun Belt. So the indoor conference championships alternate between Arkansas State and Jonesboro, Arkansas, and Murfreesboro in the Murphy Center. Mm-hmm. But it is hard to see by virtue of the fact that we have all those bleachers up. It makes it hard to see across the arena. It's a very fast track, and it's the times and the distances are all good in that building, but it's just hard for a spectator to see. Maybe one day we'll have an indoor track that's at another location here.
I would love that, because I love track and field. I really do, and in all the sports. In fact, sometimes when I'm flipping through ESPN. Yes, I'll look and I'll find a track and field meet, and I'll just sit there and watch it, because I love to watch the athletes.
They're fabulous athletes.
Yeah.
Just fabulous athletes.
Now, you have all the sports. I mean, you name the sport, MTSU has it now.
You got 17 collegiate sports, NCAA sports.
Sports, I mean, the attendance probably is making money for MTSU now, because you have a pretty good attendance rate. Not what it should be yet, but it's going to be there.
Collegiate athletics is such an expensive endeavor that it's really hard. A lot less schools actually make money on intercollegiate athletics than you would think.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like football is the prime sport, because it's played at home, what, 6 or 7 times usually.
And we are in the South, Trey.
We're in the South. But when you talk about, say, football, it's such a competitive sport for the fans, because there is nobody more rabid than a football fan. There really isn't. I mean, they talk 24 hours a day, 360, well, this year, 366 days a year.
That's right.
But basketball has got a great following. Mm-hmm. And basketball is one of those sports that when you go to it, it's a social event too, because I enjoy seeing you and all the guys I don't ever get to see otherwise, and then I see some people that I grew up with. That's the beauty about being here in Murfreesboro, because there's such an intense rivalry between groups. But when you live in Rutherford County and the roots are so deep, the best place in the world to go and be together is MTSU, right there in that gym or in the stadium.
Well, there's no question that it's a chance for everybody in the community to get together and cheer for one team,
right,
rather than, you know, Oakland and Riverdale and mm-hmm. Siegel and Blackman and all Smyrna and Laverne fans can all come together and be on the same side for a while, and it's a great outlet if you're a sports fan, and it's intercollegiate athletics at the highest level you can play right here in Murfreesboro.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back, because we didn't get to talk as much as I wanted to about some of the great athletes that we've had at MTSU. And we want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb, and they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles.
Hi, I'm Vice Mayor Chris Bratcher. I am running for City Council for the City of Murfreesboro. Early voting is March 28th. Election Day is April 17th. I am proud to live in the great city of Murfreesboro, and I want to continue Murfreesboro's success. So I am asking for your vote and your support for Chris Bratcher for City Council. It's been an honor to serve on your Murfreesboro City Council. Murfreesboro is a great city, and I want to continue to make Murfreesboro a great place to live, work, and to play. I am Chris Bratcher, and I approve this message.
This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, AmeriCare Pest Control, and the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS.
This is Dean Higby with South Branch Nursery. Join us Saturdays, 11:30 to 12:30 on the Rutherford Home Show, presented by Old South Properties.
This is Josh at South Branch Nursery. If you're growing a garden, now is a great time to layer it for winter, and we have everything you need from straw to compost to ensure your garden is successful. We even offer snow removal and ice melt application.
South Branch Nursery, located at Barfield Road and South Church Street, 893-4030, or on the web at southbranchnursery.com.
From the WGNS Good Neighbor Events, we find that the Murfreesboro Rotary Club is having a four-way test speech contest. That's going to be 4:30 on Thursday afternoon, March 29th, at the Boys and Girls Club. Now, this is open to any high school student here in Rutherford County. Doesn't matter whether you go to public school, private school, or if you're homeschooled. It's free to enter, and your 4 to 6 minute talk is all about Rotary's four-way test. You do have to enter, though. There are cash prizes, plus you might win a $1,000 college scholarship. Once again, the Murfreesboro Rotary Club's four-way test speech contest is Thursday, March 29th at 4:30 in the afternoon at the Boys and Girls Club. Call the Boys and Girls Club and talk with Jenny Wright for more information. And on Saturday, March the 31st, from 8 in the morning until 11, it's an oil-based paint collection, and that'll be at 1140 Haley Road. Again, that's oil-based paint only, Saturday, March 31st, from 8 to 11, at 1140 Haley Road. Also Saturday, March 31st, volunteers are needed to help clean the Stones River Battlefield. That date is also the Girl Scouts' 100th anniversary. And those are Good Neighbor Events.
Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Jordan, an orthopedic surgeon with Middle Tennessee Medical Center. As the official health care providers of the MTSU Blue Raiders, we know the importance of getting players healthy and back in the game. Middle Tennessee Medical Center provides comprehensive orthopedic care with expertise to return each patient to an active and functional lifestyle. Our team is highly experienced in orthopedic and joint replacement surgery, which means better outcomes and quicker recoveries. To make an appointment with an MTMC orthopedic specialist, call 615-284-BONE.
In the Murfreesboro City Council election, the Murfreesboro Firefighters Association is proud to endorse incumbent Councilman Toby Gilley and challengers Bill Jakes and Eddie Smotherman. We also ask your support in our efforts to improve our radio system for first responder safety and to ensure planned construction of a fire training facility in Murfreesboro. Please vote for candidates Gilley, Jakes, and Smotherman for City Council. Early voting March 28 to April 12, Election Day, April 17th.
Paid for by Murfreesboro Firefighters Association, local number 3035.
He knows Rutherford County, and he knows the people of Rutherford County. Truman Jones, here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back with Jim Simpson, and let's go to our phone call, because this is one of those things that it's important to us to be able to relate back to the people, and we never know who's going to call in. So, caller, welcome aboard.
Truman, if you could ask Jim if there are any plans to build a parking garage close to the football and gymnasium in the near future, so some of us older folks won't have to walk quite as far to get in. I'll hang up and listen to his comments.
Thanks. All right. I appreciate it.
Well, Truman, there are two parking garages underway now, but they're not in close proximity to the Murphy Center.
Okay.
One of them is very, very close to the baseball stadium, and one is across the roundabout from the new student union over on the east side of campus. So there are one or two more planned, but none of them will be in really close proximity to the Murphy Center.
As the support for MTSU continues to grow, that's one of the things that probably is going to be one of the more difficult things to address, because of the space in that area. We're almost already grown out of it.
Yeah, you can really tell the difference. I mean, we've almost filled up all of our land mass, you know, in buildings, but there's just not much room to grow anymore. I imagine that the next step would be probably to grow up some, but they've really improved the access in and out of campus, and the new Middle Tennessee Boulevard renovation, which is, to my understanding, supposed to start late this summer, mm-hmm. is about a two-year project. We'll really, really make it very, very much nicer. But, you know, when we've dealt with so much growth in the past, and, you know, 26,500 students is quite different than four decades ago.
One thing I was thinking about when I was parking over there, I hate to admit it, but sometimes I parked where I shouldn't park.
You didn't. Did you call the sheriff's office?
No, I didn't call MTSU security either.
Matthew Royal might have come back.
Oh, still miss him. I miss him a lot. I really do. And Harold Smith and I have a story I'll relate to you off of the air on Matthew. But is there a time when, of course, I know this is an unfair question to you, but I've thought about it a lot, when there are not a lot of students there. I mean, if most of the classes, they're not going on or whatever. Is there any place that they could designate that's normally for the students, for people to come in during special times for ball games and for big events that are there to support the university, that you're looking for a parking place and just can't having just a hard time finding one?
Doesn't exist. You know, when you're dealing with 26,500 students, it's just that they've had to spread classes throughout the whole day. Mm-hmm. One of our biggest class times of the whole day is at 6 p.m. At night, with the exception of Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And it's just
a lot of neighborhood, a lot of working people go to school there.
They do. And drive in maybe from Nashville or other locations after a full day at work and have to be there at 6 for a night class. It's just, we just battle it all the time out there. And they've done a really good job with the bus system.
Right.
And the bus system is going to continue to be a great asset, because if I go at a peak time and I don't have a parking place, I'll just go to the farthest parking lot there is off of Rutherford Boulevard, park close to the bus stop, and just get on a bus, and it brings me right in. And they're limiting traffic more and more in the inner core of campus, and it's becoming more and more popular to park on the perimeters and ride that bus, because the buses are really doing a good job staying on time, and they do a great job. And those routes will continue to change a little bit as time goes on, but it's becoming more and more of the thing to do to get to class.
And we have had huge events at MTSU, Jim Simpson, over the years, and I know you've worked close with Harold Smith and some of those just major events that you can't find anywhere else. I mean, you can go to New York, L.A., but some of the events that we've had here were almost historic.
Yeah, I was just looking through before I came over this afternoon. I was looking through a list of, and I don't even know why I have this list, but I'm a pack rat and hang on to a lot of things that probably I should let go. But I've got a list here of concerts that we held in the historic Murphy Center, from the first one in 1973 all the way up to just 1995. But the names, you looked at the list a little while ago, you know, Bob Hope, Elton John, Chicago, Elvis, John Denver, Linda Ronstadt, The Who at the height of their popularity, Earth, Wind, and Fire, The Commodores, Jimmy Buffett, The Beach Boys, Kansas, The Eagles, Barry Manilow. I mean, it just goes Oak Ridge Boys, Alabama, Olivia Newton-John. It just goes on and on and on and on. And what that – I'm very, very partial to the Murphy Center. That's a historic – we call it the historic Murphy Center now, and it's hard to believe.
It's hard for me to believe it's historic, because I remember when they were building it.
I know. But that building has meant more to this county and more to this city and more to that university than any other single structure, I think.
Oh, I agree with you. Now, how many people, with everything brought into play, how many people can it hold for a major event like some of the people that have come in here?
Well, for a basketball game, it used to hold, and I'll tell you why I say used to a little in a minute, but it used to hold 11,520 for a basketball game. And there are 5,734 bleacher seats. The rest are theater seats. But over the years, they have added some handicapped seating, which is taken out on about five sections, taking out two rows, and that would be about 40 seats or something in that neighborhood. And so that's changed mm-hmm. over the years a little bit. For a major show that is done in the round, you could get about 12,500 people in there. And that's, I remember the Kenny Rogers shows, all of them were in the round, mm-hmm. so that was maxed out at over 12,500 for those. And then, you know, some shows had a, I hate to talk about stuff that Harold Smith should be here to talk about, but he knows far more than I ever did. But some of the shows, the staging went further out into the floor than mm-hmm. others and blocked some other seats in the past or behind them. And so the capacity would change from show to show, but it, in the neighborhood of 11,000, so forth.
You know, just booking those people in, that, I mean, that's an amazing success there.
Yeah, and Harold did such a great job with that, because that's sensitive information. You never wanted to, like when he was booking Elvis, they had moved his office in the University Center, I remember, and he was in an open room with a secretary and a couple of other people that were in there, and he was trying to deal with Colonel Parker booking Elvis.
Yeah.
And with all those sensitive details mm-hmm. and so forth, and I really don't know how he did it.
Well, from talking to him, and he's been on the show, it's been a long time ago, I've got to get Harold back on, but it wasn't an easy task because there was a lot of give and take in trying to book those big name people to come in here, because you know even going to New York and LA is not easy, but when you're coming into Murfreesboro and you're competing with all these big venues, and of course Nashville finally saw what was happening mm-hmm. here, so they started building the large structure so they could pack more people in and make more money for the stars.
We were actually the genesis of the Thompson Bowling Arena in Knoxville. You mentioned the 1979 NCAA tournament when mm-hmm. When Tennessee was actually in it.
Right.
Also Michigan State with Magic mm-hmm. Johnson yeah. there, run mm-hmm. to the championship. But they're all their dignitaries came down here, and you'll have to remember that was 1979. They all came in and saw what we had and saw the building that we had, and they incensed them to the point that they went back and started working on a new arena and raising the funds for that one, and that's how Thompson Bowling came about.
Whose vision was it to actually build our gym the way it actually turned out to be?
Well, Dr. Cope initially started the initial investigations, who was a president mm-hmm. then in the early 60s, and they worked on that. Ken Trickey was our basketball coach at the time, and he of course would like to have seen a new arena. Mm-hmm. Coach Earl was hired on by Coach Trickey, mm-hmm. and there that flame kind of was fanned there, and then Dr. Cope left and Dr. Scarlett came in and really picked up the mantle as far as the new arena was concerned, and forged it through. It was a $6.5 million building. So we've been playing in a building for 4 years for $6.5 million that the students paid for.
Mm-hmm. See, that's amazing, because that's almost unheard of. And I remember when they built it, I mean, we would just go over and just stare at it. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were used to the old Memorial Gym, and I can't remember what the capacity was there, but just the county tournaments, when they would come in and play at the gym,
yeah,
it was full to capacity for that.
Yeah, the Alumni Memorial Gym was about a 3,800-seat facility.
I don't even remember it being able to hold that many, but I do remember all the tangerines being thrown by Tennessee Tech at us in that building, and we were a little bit too close at that time.
Yeah, you'll have to tell me about that. I've heard stories about that one, and I know that one of our Hall of Famers that just was inducted this last year, Terry Sweeney, former player and mm-hmm. then a coach here, his pregnant wife was hit with one of those tangerines, as the story goes. And that started quite a brawl. That was a Tennessee Tech.
There was a lot of anger mm-hmm. at that particular ball game. Okay, we've got a caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Jim Simpson.
Well, I'm I'd like to tell you what an honor it is to be able to talk to Mr. Simpson. There's not one person out there that has done any more for Middle Tennessee State than Mr. Simpson has. Plus the fact that he not only is such a wonderful person, but he has a beautiful, wonderful wife, too. But here's what I'd like to tell you and see if I'm correct, and then you can answer. Harold Smith, I had a brother-in-law named Val Smith, and he said that Harold and him, whatever the case was, when Elvis Presley came here, that Colonel Parker demanded from Harold Smith that they bring him $75,000 in cash before he would perform. It had to be in cash and not checks or anything else. And then I also saw somewhere that this Kenya West, who had, well, anyway, that he had been out there. Could you answer that, Mr. Simpson, and tell me if what I just said was true or not? Thank you.
You know, I wish I could comment on the $75,000 and the Colonel Parker situation, but from what I saw in that period of time, that would not surprise me in the least. We would have to get Harold to answer that question. What was the second question? Kanye West.
Yeah.
Kanye West was there about 7 years ago in an effort to increase student attendance at football. And he was a big rap star at the time, still is to some extent. And we brought him on to do a post-game concert out there.
I am sitting here in shock because that was Jack Jolly. It sounded just like Jack Jolly. How would he know that name? I had no idea who he was talking about.
You probably don't know this, but Jack's a big rap fan.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
You know, he kind of moves around like a rap fan sometimes.
If that was Jack Jolly, what a great asset to this city. And, you know, I said I wasn't going to admit this on the air, but I am from Tullahoma. We talked about that. And Jack coached that down in Tullahoma for a little while with Bobby Morton and that group. Yeah, so Jack's been in and out of my life for quite a bit.
You know, you've not only been a blessing to this community, the community has been a blessing to you.
Absolutely.
Also with all the great people that you have got to know.
Absolutely. It's just been the greatest life ever.
You just fell right into it when you came to MTSC back then, didn't you?
No, I'd never attended MTSC.
I thought you were MTSC.
No, July 1st of 1965 was the ceremony to rename the university or the college to the university, and I started that fall.
So you don't remember the great university,
no,
or
I
the
don't
college
know any,
before that?
Don't
do
know
you?
Anything about that. Normal school?
Yes.
The teachers, the pedagogues.
All right, come on.
All right.
We will let you know that this part of the show is brought to you by At Home Care, and that's Melissa Warren's business. And they come to your home 24/7 and take care of all your responsibilities inside your house and even run errands for you. So if you're no longer able to take care of those things and you're looking at the possibility of having to leave your home, don't do it. Give this number a call, 713-4639, or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And let Melissa know what your problem is, and I'll guarantee you she'll take care of it.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
It's time for the 2012 season of Atlanta Braves baseball. As the new season kicks off, we'll bring you every jack.
Ugla hits it in the air, left center field. Did he get number two? Oh, yes, he did.
And every huge win.
Freeman waiting. 3-2 pitch. Swinging the ground ball up the middle and through. Base hit. And the Braves have beaten the Giants.
Right here.
The Braves.
Yeah, we got them.
WGNS. Murfreesboro.
This is Councilman Ron Washington, and I'm asking for your vote April 17th. I have proven my commitment to this community through volunteerism, service, and your trust. Serving the community is not just local involvement, it's regional and national. Experience matters. Vote Ron Washington, City Council. Early voting is March 28th through April the 12th. Election day is April 17th. I am Ron Washington, and I approve this message.
He knows Rutherford County's past, and his wisdom can give good insight into our future. It's the Truman Show. Here again, Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Jim Simpson. You know, we've kind of taken a lick the last few years because Nashville is, and like you said, the Thompson Bowling Arena have given us, taken a lot of business away from us when it comes to the major events like some of the great stars coming in here and everything like that. Do we still have that possibility, or is it just one of those things that's almost out of sight as far as the size and everything?
I think major concerts are kind of, they're not a thing of the past, but they're a lot less, we're a lot less able to do those now. Mm-hmm. You don't really see the number of concerts now at all that you used to. Mm-hmm. But we were the biggest at the right time.
We really were.
Because there was no other better. What concert people go on and promoters go on are something called the gross potential, which means the number of tickets times the ticket price. Mm-hmm. And that number drives everything. And at the time we were built, we were bigger. We had a bigger gross potential than the Municipal Auditorium in Nashville. We were a lot better arena. And then you were coming to Murfreesboro rather than going to downtown Nashville anyway. And so that was a great asset to us at the time. But now, to be honest with you, you know, I said we have 17 sports. Mm-hmm. We have a physical education department housed in that building. Mm-hmm. And it is just hard to fit anything but class and practice and games and all that. It's just hard to find a three-day window of opportunity to have a concert, to be honest.
But, you know, I think Murphy Center has got, it's more accommodating to the public than just about any place I go into.
After 40 years, I still don't believe they've built a better, more functional arena in the state of Tennessee than we have in the Murphy Center.
You know, a lot of us that go in there, we... ex-athletes or whatever, we all got knee problems or whatever. You can hear us creaking when you come in. But it's so easy to get in and out of there. It's accommodating for just about every person you can talk about. And maybe if you're confined to a wheelchair, you take the people right up to the floor, and they have the best seats in the house. I can't think of anything else that could be done to make it so comfortable for the people to bring them in. It's just really a fun place to go.
Well, there are more improvements coming. And they've discussed a lot of different aspects of how they can make the building better. And there'll be some more things that you'll hear about, lighting and sound and so forth later on. So it's getting better.
Well, we got another phone call, Jim. Caller, welcome aboard with Jim Simpson.
Well, good afternoon to both of you. Jim Simpson, what a class act he's been for Middle Tennessee State University for years and years and years.
And I will agree wholeheartedly with that.
Thank you, Butch.
I'm willing.
Is that Butch Campbell?
That's Butch. Are you worn out, Butch, from all of your weeks of basketball?
No. We've recuperated by now and got things going.
Well, I tell you what, Butcher, you do a good job, and it's always good to see you sitting down there. It's you know, when no matter how many people's in there, I can always find a familiar face, no matter where I am.
Well, you've got a lot of friends.
Butch, is the reason you do that just so you can get a good seat?
Do what?
Is the reason you do the clock at Murphy Center so you can get a good seat?
Well, it's not the best seat in the house. I'd a whole lot rather be sitting up about where you do, about 8 or 10 rows up.
Do you have to pay attention to what's going on when you're sitting there?
Yes, you do. Yes,
oh,
you
my
do.
Goodness. So you're actually not getting a free seat?
Well, not necessarily a free seat, because it's, well, I enjoy it, and I've had a good time doing it, and hope to do it for a long time.
I hope you do, too, Butcher. I really do.
Thank both of you. I appreciate both of you.
Thanks for the
call.
You've
both been assets to the community.
Thanks for the call,
Butch. Thank you,
Butch.
And we have another caller on the line. Caller, welcome aboard with Jim Simpson.
Yes, sir. When you do that improvement, I wish you would improve those steps. About the time you get started walking, you have to step up.
Those steps are aggravating it sometimes, but...
steps are we talking about?
We're talking about the steps at the northeast corner.
Uh-huh.
You have to get in a pretty good rhythm those and down those. So, but we do have opportunities to go in and down in the loading dock, and there's an elevator down there, so you don't have to fight those steps if you don't really have to.
But it's kind of a ego thing. I just want to show people that I can still walk up those steps. And, you know, going up them is easier than coming down them.
Yes, like I said, you have to get in a rhythm. There's a rhythm. There's a certain rhythm.
There is. I can stretch my legs going up, but coming down, oh, my knees hurt. Jim, it's been a great show. I mean, you're always a lot of fun.
Thank you.
And you got to get the guys together, and I'd love to have lunch or something with you guys, because there's nobody more enjoyable to be with.
We'll tell some old stories.
Oh, that's all the kind we know how to tell.
It is, isn't it?
All right. It's been another great show, and we'll see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and we'll have Mr. Greg Tucker home. Have a great day.